We're going to have a great service here, and we've had a wonderful time of worship. Hey, let's get all those gathering grounds people off of the coffee bar and in here right now. All right, we've been doing a series on our values, and we're going to continue that for the next few weeks. And we began 2 weeks ago with a beginning on generosity, our first value, our eight values. The different words are here on the platform in a creative way. And we talked about how important values are. Values describe who we are, and they also are descriptive of what we want to become more of. And so values, one of our values is generosity. And so we are a generous church, and we desire for that to be even more true of us day by day as we go into the future. So generosity and being more generous. Another one of our values is impartiality, where we love everyone and we treat everyone equally, no matter what our background, no matter what our language, no matter what our culture. And so for each one of these values, we are looking at them and seeing from God's word how that is true of us presently, and then we are aspiring to make it even more and more true. So we started with generosity, and we looked at the standard for us being generous, for us having that value, is that God is extravagant. He's abundant. He shows abundant, extravagant love, and he pours out incredible grace, mercy, forgiveness, power, his Holy Spirit. So the standard for generosity is God's abundant nature. And then Mike followed up a week later, just last week, with a message on our response to this abundant, loving, generous God is that we would steward our lives in a generous way. We would live generously in response to what God has done for us. And so he looked at living generously in a way that living generously is an act of worship. It's a way of worshiping the Lord. Living generously is centered on others. Living generously is most powerful when we do that from the gifts that we have, the natural gifts, the spiritual gifts. And then the last two keys to us living generously were, number one, recognizing that it is something we can all grow into. Living generously is something we all grow into. And living generously is fueled by grace. And so those last two keys for living generously in response to God's incredible generosity toward us, those last two keys we're going to look at in the middle of the second letter that Paul sent to the Corinthian church in chapters 8 and 9. So find chapter 8 in your electronic device, in your handheld Bible, find chapter 8. We're going to look at Paul's exhortation. Paul is instructing the Gentile believers in Corinth to live generously, to grow in this grace of giving, is what he calls. There's this phrase, this grace of giving, and he wants them to grow in this grace of giving. And before we jump into the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and grow in this grace of giving, I have this wowie kazowie illustration that worked off the charts in first service. And so it's going to be, come on, work with me, baby. It did. And we're going to have another go at it. And so in this illustration, I'm going to need people in the age group between 15 years old and 24 years old. I need three volunteers to make this an amazing illustration. Okay? Wait. Yeah. Is that a for real hand raise there, or are you just not sure? Yeah. The young lady. What's your name? Rachel. Come on down. Rachel. Okay. We got Elliot. Elliot, how old are you? 24. Okay. I need one more. Yes. Yes. I tell you what. I'm going to go with this hand right here. I see that hand. I see that hand, and I love you all. Okay. Come on up. All right. So we got three volunteers to illustrate a part of what we're going to learn about growing in the grace of generosity today. And so of you three, I need to know who wants to be the first guinea pig. All right. You're going to go first. Okay. So I've got three tasks I need to get done, and you're going to do one of them, and these other two volunteers are going to do the other. And I just want to know, before I even tell you what the task is, it's probably going to take you 15 minutes or so. You'll go ahead and listen to the message online, since you're going to be missing some really amazing stuff.
Right.
Okay, right? And so for about the next 15 or 20 minutes, I need you to take this big trash can, pardon me, this is a trash bag, and I need you to go to the playground, and I need you to pick up all the little trash that collects out there. So that trash bag, there's straws, there's pieces of napkin, there's little Band-Aids, I don't know, whatever ends up in the playground, just limit it to the timbers around the playground, you know, the fence and the gravel. So just not the whole property, just that area in that bag. And then there's toys everywhere, and it is not organized over there. And so just make that play area look nice,
okay.
Organize the toys. And then the last thing is there's a really big outside trash bag that everybody thinks an angel comes and empties, but nobody... Nobody does. And so I want you to empty that outdoor trash can, put a new liner in it, and put the trash you pick up and the trash from the can up in the dumpster. Three things.
All right.
Empty the trash can, pick up the trash, organize the toys in there. You got that?
Got it.
Okay. And you need a little spending money? If I paid you $20 to do that, that'd be okay?
Sure.
Sure? Now you wish you were volunteering now, right? Okay. Go for it. And just come back into the service once you've done your job. Okay, who's next? Rachel, okay. Do you like coffee, Rachel?
Yes.
Yes, okay. You're part of the reason our trash cans are always full in the gathering grounds. And so I have a bunch of liners here.
Okay.
And so there's three or four trash cans out in the gathering grounds. And I need those all to be emptied, new fresh liners in. And then... We have a dumpster up on the very back corner of the property. So you go up these wooden steps,
okay.
And you turn left, and you go to the end of the parking lot. And don't give up. It's over 100 yards. Just okay. Go. And there'll be a dumpster, and you put it in. And when you're done, just come back and wave at me, and I'll know you've done your job. Is 20 okay if I pay you for that task?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, you're happy with that, right?
I am.
Oh, okay. She's a college student who is eager for 20 bucks. Okay. Elliot, you've got a really important job. I find it really distracting to preach when there's coffee mugs sitting all over cups in chairs and on the floor. So you get the easiest job. I just want you to go along. And for people who finished, I just want you to collect their... And the only thing that'll be challenging is to do it without distracting everyone. You're going to be a gem. Okay, you 20 okay? Just do it quickly, because right now you've already distracted everyone. They don't even know what chapter in the Bible we're in. So just pick up any loose coffee cups. Any loose coffee cups. And the dumpster. When you're done, to the dumpster. Yep, quickly. Chop, chop. Okay, well... We're going to read the text in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is Paul in the middle of his letter to the 2 Corinthians. Thank you. Not 3 Corinthians. Not Ephesians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Thank you, babe. Call to generous living. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped for. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I am not commanding you to do so, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Verse 10, here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing so. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage that encourages us to grow in the grace of giving. Lord, let your word penetrate our hearts. Let what we read right now, even more than anything else I would say, let your word being spoken just now change our hearts and transform us. We want to be more like you, Jesus. We want to grow in this grace of giving. So teach us, change us, and pour out your spirit on us, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, real quick. We jump into a story here, and we're in the middle of this letter to the Gentile believers in Corinth. And in this letter, he is encouraging them to finish something that they started a full year ago. And so what has happened is that there is a financial need with the believers back in Jerusalem. We know that the church was birthed in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the apostles began to share, and Peter stood up and gave his first message. So in Acts chapters 1 and 2, we see the birth of the church, and so the church started in Jerusalem and then spread through persecution all over into the Middle East and beyond. And so these Gentile believers in Corinth have found out about a need that the Jerusalem believers had, and they wanted right away to respond to it and to give to it. And so they were the first to want to do it, and they were the first to begin setting money aside to do it, but it says they never got it done. They never really finished what they had started. And so Paul is writing this letter saying, let's finish what your good motives and your good intentions began. And then he goes on to share, and as your model, look at the churches in Macedonia. Macedonia is a little further north than east, and it's the churches that are in the Macedonia area are Philippi, the Philippian church, and Paul has a letter to them. The Thessalonica group of believers, and Paul has a letter to them, and the Bereans, who get mentioned in Acts. So he commends them to respond in the way that these other churches in that region had responded. They had a desire to give, and they responded quickly, and it says they gave out of their poverty. They didn't even have anything. This group, really, who responded right away and quickly that he sets before them as an example, these Macedonian churches, it says they were poor themselves, but they gave out of their poverty and gave a rich offering. And he's saying, let's look to them as our example and let's finish the good work that got started but was never completed. And so we don't know exactly what caused the financial crisis in Jerusalem. Could have been famine, could have been drought, could have been persecution, and we don't even know exactly what stopped the Corinthian church from finishing what they had started a year ago, but it's likely part of what had slowed them down was they had gotten offended at Paul. You might recall he had to challenge them on quite a few things in the first letter, and so some of what may have been at work in slowing down their response to finish this offering was just getting sideways with Paul. And so he's writing a letter to say, let's get this thing done so that when I show up, we're not embarrassed by scrambling and having to pull this together quickly, okay? So he's saying, I'm going to send Titus, and we're going to get this grace of giving. We're going to get this offering for the needs in Jerusalem met. Okay, so that's the background. The Gentile believers in Macedonia had been incredibly generous, even though they didn't have anything to give. And this grace of giving that we're learning about here in this text, one thing I want to distinguish, it says this grace of giving. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Just real quick, there are a bunch of spiritual gifts. And Mike put a slide up last week describing a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. And in the Romans chapter 12 list of spiritual gifts, one of the spiritual gifts is giving. It's a gift of giving. It's you just want to give and be used by God. You're extravagant with what God's given you. That is a spiritual gift. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Shepherding is a spiritual gift. The discernment of spirits, faith, healing, all of those are spiritual gifts. What he's talking about here isn't, I want you to function in the spiritual gift of giving, because not everybody has that. What he's telling all of these people in Corinth is, I want you to grow in the grace of giving. It's a grace that everyone has, because everyone has received the grace of salvation at work in their lives. So the grace of giving is for all of us to engage in, and that's something Mike touched on last week. Living generously is something that we can all grow into, and living generously is fueled by the grace of God at work in our lives, okay? So this grace of giving is for all of us, not just for a handful of people who have that additional spiritual gift, okay? So he's instructing them in this grace of giving, and he's reminding them that they can all grow into it. And I just want to say real quickly, he's not doing anything gimmicky here to get it done, okay? So sometimes you might be somewhere and someone might really lay on the guilt to get you to give. I pray that you never encounter 1 ounce of guilt in all of the time you spend in this church worshiping God. Guilt is from the enemy, not from the Father. The Father, by His Spirit, will show us things He wants to change, but it isn't a guilt. It isn't a pile on you, you're scum, and if you don't do this, you're worthless. That is from the pit. That's not from our Heavenly Father. And so Paul's not guilting them into any kind of response. And Paul's not appealing to their pride. He's not announcing this giving competition. And if they hurry up and give and finish what they started, then they can even be better than the Macedonian believers, and then they'll win the contest. That isn't, you are looking at me like I would be so susceptible to that. But some of you aren't that way. Okay, so he's not guilting them into a response. He's not appealing to their pride, and he's not trying to work up something emotional and getting them to respond in a emotional moment. He's instructing them in a truth that will carry them through their lives. They will grow in the grace of giving, and they will grow deeper and deeper in the grace of giving. So he's calling for a precious work of grace that would occur in their hearts in such a profound way that they would become even more like Christ, who gave in love his whole life away. Okay, how can we recognize that this grace of giving is at work in our lives? And so he identifies several things through this text, his opening letter, or his opening chapter here in chapter 8. Let's look at 4 real quick in chapter 8 and 5 real quick in chapter 9, and then we'll bring this thing home. So 4 things. It says that the grace of giving is evident when it moves us beyond our circumstances. Okay? So it says what's true of the Macedonian believers is that they were poor. They were extremely poor, yet they still participated in this grace of giving. And so when we are walking and embracing the grace of giving that Paul is teaching about here, it will move us beyond our circumstances. We won't be held back or prevented from participating in what God's called us to do, no matter how difficult things are or no matter how groovy things are. They didn't wait until everything was cheery to participate, and they didn't let their extreme difficult situation prevent them from participating. The grace of giving moves us to give and be generous in spite of our circumstances. The grace of giving moves us to be generous in an enthusiastic way. And this shows up in the text here. If you may remember, as it read, it said the Macedonian believers begged and pleaded for the opportunity, the privilege to give. How amazing is that? Like, what would that look like today if people were begging for the opportunity to give? I did it in first service, just want to say. Catherine forgot the offering in first service. And I said, we got to have the offering. And then she remembered and we took it up. Are you all sleepy? Okay, so enthusiastic. We can tell when people are functioning in this grace of giving, when they are incredibly enthusiastic, that they would even beg for the privilege of giving. A third evidence that the grace of giving is at work in our lives is that we would give like Jesus did. It says here in this verse on the screen, just as you excel in everything, faith, love, see that you excel in this grace of giving. That wasn't the verse I wanted to highlight. It was verse 9. In verse 9, it says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Jesus left all of his Godheadness in heaven, came to earth. He became poor. He humbled himself as a servant and gave his life for you and me. And so when we are walking in this grace of giving, our lives begin to be lived for everyone else and not for ourselves. That's when we can tell that the grace of giving is being exhibited in our lives. And then a fourth evidence that the grace of giving is alive and functioning in our lives is that we will do it with a willing heart. It says that they gave according to what they have, not according to what they didn't have. Again, they didn't let whatever they had be a barrier to their giving. They did it willingly. They weren't coerced into it. They did it with a willing heart, and they did it according to what they had. So the evidence that we can see that the grace of giving is functioning in our lives is that we'll do it in spite of circumstances, we'll do it enthusiastically, we'll do it like Jesus modeled for us in his life, and we'll do it willingly. Okay? Let's look at chapter 9. His letter continues, and he continues on talking about generosity. I'll pick it up in verse 3 in chapter 9. It says, I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in the matter would not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians came with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, verse 8, this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you see how many times all showed up there? A lot. God is able to make all grace. How much is all grace? Yeah. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Does that leave anything out, church? All things, all the time, all that we need. You will abound in every good work. That covers everything in our lives. All. And here's how it says it in the New Living on the screen. God will generously provide all you need. You will always have everything you need. That's a promise. God never fails to keep his promise. He's just told us here multiple times, I'm going to take care. You can trust me. I will take care of all of your needs, and I won't just stop there. I will have done it in a way that you have plenty left over to share with others. I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to bless you in a way that you can bless others. That's such a promise. That is when we know the grace of giving. Okay, let's finish this text. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's a reference back to Psalm 112. You ought to take Psalm 112 as a promise and read it over your lives every day. It talks about generosity. We may or may not get there. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 11 is a repeat of verse 9, practically. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Every is a whole lot like all. It's every. It's always. You will be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through you, generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of this surpassing grace of giving that God has given you. Thanks be to God for this for his indescribable gift. All right, real quick, church. Five evidences that the grace of giving is growing in us. Number one, it will provoke others to be generous. He puts in front of the Corinthian church again, the believers in Macedonia. Their generosity that was amazing and extravagant, especially in light of their lack and their poverty, is provoking, is encouraging, is inspiring, and is motivating to others. When we share our testimony, that's what it does. It inspires people to trust God more when they hear the stories of God's faithfulness to us, right? And he tells them, this is the story that came from Macedonia, and it was crazy generous, and they had nothing, and still they begged and pleaded for the privilege, and so that was the inspiration and the motivation for the Corinthian believers. So the grace of giving will provoke, will inspire, and motivate others to be generous. The grace of giving will actually be a blessing to you. That's what verse 8 and verse 11 said. If you will embrace this grace of giving, you will have everything you ever need taken care of, and you will be given more to be a blessing to others. You will be blessed and bless others. That's what he promises. When we see people functioning in the grace of giving, their lives are blessed, and they are being a source of blessing to others. And that's this third evidence. You will meet the needs of others. This service that you perform is supplying the needs of God's people back in Jerusalem. Okay? A fourth evidence of this grace of giving is that it will glorify God. In verse 13, it says, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Your obedience will to give these gifts will cause people to glorify God. All right? And then lastly, this grace of giving will instill gratitude and build unity. And so here's the list. You can take a picture of that from chapters 8 and 9. Here are all the fruits. Here are all the benefits. Here are all the evidences that God has for us when we walk in this grace of giving. And when we grow more in this grace of giving, we see more and more of this. So Grace Covenant Church is a church that has the value for generosity, and these things are true, and these things are going to be even more true as we grow deeper in this grace of giving. Okay? We with each other on this so far? We're about to wrap this up. How are all of my workers doing? Are they all back? Yeah, Philip? Elliot, see, you did that so well. I wasn't distracted a bit. Okay, come on up here. And Rachel, you're looking a little uncertain, Rachel. Come on down. All right. To grow in this grace of giving, sometimes we need an example to learn from. And so The Macedonian church is presented as an example of generosity that the Corinthian believers could grow from and could learn from. And so there's this other wonderful parable in Matthew 20. Just make a note of that. Put a placeholder in your Bible. Matthew 20 is this wonderful story of some people who worked in God's vineyard. And some people went out early in the day and they worked all day for some money. And then some people went midday. And then some people just went right at the very end and didn't work hardly at all. And it says that he paid them a fair wage. So we agreed on a wage, right? What did we agree on? $20. How long were you out there making that play area look amazing, Philip?
I'm not sure.
Did you do it in 20 minutes?
I thought it went quickly.
Went quickly, okay. Elliot, you were done in a couple minutes, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Rachel wants you to know you missed her cup. And you missed Sue's cup. I'm wondering if we're going to pay him at this point. Okay, so Rachel, how'd it go out there in the gathering grounds?
Good.
You going to drink less coffee now?
Well, the bag broke on me when I put your things.
Yeah.
Coffee on.
So you have coffee? Yeah.
Lovely perfume of coffee.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so $20 is what we agreed on, right?
Yeah, do it for free.
You would do it for free. So $20 would be generous. Yeah? Okay, so I want to bless you. It says that if we sow sparingly, then we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow generously, then we're going to reap generously. So you've just been blessed, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going to be a blessing, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Philip, you were outside in the not climate controlled heat of the day. And you work for 15 minutes or so, and you've got 100 bills there for it, which is pretty nice. And Elliot here, he just walked around a few times in this sanctuary that was air-conditioned. You got a problem with him making as much as you did? You don't have a problem with that?
It's not like I deserve this much either.
Ah, I'm telling you. I think Jesus would have to work harder to find people to tell stories on than people in this church. Okay, so Philip's not at all envious or jealous that he worked a ton harder than you, Elliot, to earn his $100. So let's give our wonderful volunteers a hand. You can go. You're very welcome. Yeah. You can buy hugs at Grace Covenant Church. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Just make a note to yourself. If the pastor's going to do a message on generosity, you probably want to volunteer. Just saying. Okay? All right. So in that parable in Matthew 20, the way the story really went for them, unlike it did here, is the people who worked all day, when he started handing out the wage at the end of the day, and the people who only worked in the vineyard an hour got a full day's wage, they were like, he's probably going to pay me more because I worked a whole lot more. And so one of the barriers to generosity, church, and I want us to get this, one of the barriers to generosity is that we get envious and jealous at what God is doing that is blessing someone else's life. And we get this attitude like, it's not fair. You know, I say it in a way to make fun of, but in our hearts, we really think that God is withholding something good from us while he's busy blessing other people. And nothing could be, it's such a lie. We have been given this grace of salvation, church. Everything else that he gives us is just icing. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you that God doesn't love me and he's not generous with me. He is crazy generous. He loves you and he died for you. He couldn't be more generous. And if he's blessing others on top of that, then rejoice. I think one of the amazing things about this value is generosity reveals stuff in our hearts that we're not even aware is there. When God starts being crazy generous above and beyond the grace of salvation and new life that he's given us, it will reveal if we got some junk down here. When God is blessing people, when God was blessing these three people, they all went, I loved it. I want to do a third service and give another $300 away. It's awesome. And when they received that, I want you to just pay attention to what was going on in your heart. Did I just say, wow, that is so cool that they just got blessed? Or was it, dang, I raised my hand and he didn't let me get up there. I mean, or, so sometimes we get a little envious or jealous, and then here's another heart attitude that generosity will reveal in us at times. When God is being generous, when people are being generous, sometimes we get this critical religious attitude. And I don't know if anyone experienced that. Somebody may have this thing like, you mean to tell me I've been tithing and giving to this church, and now that pastor just gave $300 to people for doing nothing? What in the heck is he doing as steward of the finances of this church? Now, I'm exaggerating, but that, if we get a critical, instead of rejoicing when people are blessed, then God wants to do some more healing and work in our own hearts. That it got exposed. There was this other story where Jesus was in Simon's home, and this woman comes in and she breaks this expensive jar of perfume over him, anoints his head, washes his feet with her tears, and there was an attitude in the room saying, well, that should have been sold and given to the poor. And it could have been. Maybe we would have thought, you know, he just gave 300 bills to people who didn't really need it. And we've got people who are homeless and hungry right downtown, right now. Don't let the enemy get you critical and negative and judgmental when God's being generous. See, what God wants to do is bless these people, and he's going to bless. God does not lack the resources to take care of all needs. That's what he said here. I will take care of all of your needs, and you will be a blessing. I bet that these three young people are going to be a blessing this week in a way. No pressure. Okay, so just because anybody raised their hand that I didn't get to there were some over, there was a couple guys who raised their hands over here. Yeah, Jonathan. Somebody else? Yeah, come on up. Joseph, come on. Okay. When I got Bert to approve me giving away $600 this morning, I asked for $700. So here, just take that. Take mom and dad out to eat. Wait, mom and dad, that's going to take more. Here you go. Are your mom and dad in town?
They are.
Oh. Honey, give him the rest of our cash. There we go. All right. God bless you guys. See, God is not limited in his generosity. He can be a blessing for all of us who don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And he can take care of the needs. All of our needs, all the time. He can do both and, okay? All right, yeah. You're amazing. Play that keyboard. All right. We're going to close with me just praying a blessing over you guys here in a moment. But I have a dream. See, my encouragement to you guys here today is that you would all participate in what God's doing in Grace Covenant Church, and that you would all participate in what God's doing in this community. And don't let the enemy lie to you and cause you to hold out. There was one point in my life, I was a young guy, there's been one point in my life where I held out on tithing to the Lord. And I was annoyed, I was angry at my church leaders because they had done something wrong that hurt me, and so I quit tithing. Because it tells you in the Bible to pull those levers and you'll get your leaders to behave. Read the whole Bible. It doesn't say that. The church went on just fine. The leaders went on just fine. And you know who suffered by not giving and being a part of generosity? Me. I was the only one hurt by withholding the money that God had given me. See, God doesn't need our money, and this church doesn't need your money, but you need to be faithful and obedient to God's word so he can bless you and you can be a blessing. All right? So I'm not going to pull any gimmicks. Paul didn't here in this text. I want you to be free. I want you to respond to the Lord in the way that he instructs you to respond. Here's what I know. As we grow even deeper in this grace of giving, there's going to be so much money coming in here that we're going to have new challenges in stewarding it. That's what's going to happen. And I can't wait, because I love, as you can tell, I love giving money away. And I won't do it recklessly, and the elders won't do it recklessly. I told you a couple weeks ago, we sold some property that no longer is being used for us in missions. It's being used by another mission organization. And as we receive that, the majority of that money is going back out into international missions, because we want to be generous. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of loans on these buildings from improving them over the last 5 years, and we're making those payments, and we'll keep making those payments. But we're not going to wait until we're billionaires to be a blessing. And don't you either. Okay? All right, stand up. So my dream is that as everybody begins to participate in this grace of giving, that we're going to be even more generous internationally. We'll be even more generous with our ministry partners here locally. And when everybody in this church is walking in faith and growing in this grace of giving, we'll pay off the debt on the improvements in the lobby and in the upstairs and on the pivot. We'll pay that off so quick it'll make your head spin. Because we're walking in faith and we're walking in the grace of giving. So don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. Don't get a critical attitude. Don't let the enemy take the blessing away from you of engaging in this grace of giving. And we will see God lift the roof off of the resources that go out of this place. I shared earlier, this guy who's coming next week, one of the first or second times I met him, he prophesied over this church that millions would come out of this building into the mission field. And so I was executive pastor at the time, and I did the numbers, and we weren't quite in plural millions, and so I started keeping track of it. And earlier this year I shared, we've over the 30 years of this church's history, we've given over $7 million into missions, locally and internationally. And that wasn't a destination. We haven't arrived. He wants to send many, many more millions through our hands to bless this community and the nations. And that's what we're going to all engage in and participate in. All right, bow your heads. I want to just pray a blessing over this body. Lord, you have been so incredibly generous with us. And I say thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you've put us in a position to be a blessing to others. And our heart is to respond in obedience. So change our hearts, each one of us. Wherever we're at in this grace of giving, let us be more generous like you are, Heavenly Father. And Lord, in keeping with Catherine's encouragement earlier, Lord, I pray there would be a divine exchange going on in every person's life here today, that where there are wounds, where there is hurt, that you would take that and you would give back forgiveness. Where there's sickness, you would give back healing. Where there's fatigue and stress, you would come and bring life, abundant life, and peace. Lord, wherever there is discouragement and despair, you would fill each one with overflowing hope and faith. Lord, keep letting each one trade up, not because we're greedy and not because we deserve anything. We don't deserve even the life you've given us already. And so our hearts are full of gratitude. We say thank you, Lord. Keep pouring out your goodness. Keep pouring out your love. Keep pouring out your blessing, that we can be a blessing to others. We love you, Lord. Lord, I pray for bonuses and raises over people in this room today, for your glory. I pray for promotions in careers. I pray for promotions in school. I pray for favor and anointing on each person's life here. Lord, not again so that we can be all selfish with it, but you would find us faithful stewards who you can entrust more and more to, because we're lavish and generous and a blessing just like you are. So raise the capacity of blessing in this room, I pray. Pour out your generosity and let it go out of these doors to this community and all over the world. And let it happen with each one of us. Lord, I pray there would be faith in each one, a willingness to participate. Lord, if anybody here today has never given you any money, that that would be changed today, and they would give to you in whatever way you prompt and lead. So I bless this church with even more deeper, extravagant generosity, that we would reflect your nature more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Go. Ministry team, come forward. If you need prayer for anything in your life, get on up here and they'll pray for you in faith. Go out. Be generous.